So today is the Vasant Panchami and the sixth season world, the first day of spring. And we see here things are also shifting. The kokil is the harbinger of spring. Harbinger can also mean good things about to come. We hear them now extensively. They're here. They like the spring climate. And it's Saraswati Puja. So in India, the school, they're worshiping Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And her color is yellow. So all the ladies, they wear yellow today. And very often, new yellow sari or other type of dress in honor of Saraswati. And they have the Saraswati Puja. And this is the appearance day of Vishnu Priya Devi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunandan Thakur, and the disappearance of Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Bhakti Vivek Bharati, Maharaj Sannyas disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and Bhakti Sri Rup or Swarup Parbat. You can check that on the calendar. So, what is it? Swarup or Sri Rup?
Bhakti Swarup.
Swarup Bharati. Who had lived next door to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Surabhi Kunj. It's a unique point of view. And we see as we are approaching the divine appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the day by day, they're filled with auspicious appearances, and as if leading up to Mahaprabhu, here to Vishnu Priya, then Mahavishnu Avatar, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and our Srila Saraswati Thakur. Madhavendra Puri, the disappearance, but it's this disappearance that the I Dina Dayadranata He Maturnata Kadava Lakshase Slok comes to him. And so in a way, each can be attributed to the cause of the descent of Mahaprabhu or the gift of Mahaprabhu to the world. We know in the case of Advaita Acharya that Tulasi Dalama Trena Jalasya Chulakenaba Vikrini Te Atmam Tanum Swam Bhaktebhyo Bhaktabatsala. With the palm full of Ganga, Jal, and Tulsi leaves, he propitiated the Lord to descend, taking compassion upon the fallen humanity. Sometimes Mahaprabhu will say, I was sleeping in the ocean of milk. Because Kiradakshai Vishnu, that's another story, but he can say that. I was sleeping in the ocean of milk and I heard the loud calls of Advaita. So it shows the power of Advaita. He's calling Mahaprabhu, Krishna. Krishna cannot ignore the calls of Advaita. And we're told it occurs at a time when he's simultaneously considering, overwhelmed by the curiosity of the type of love that Srimati Radharani alone possesses, then that's coinciding with the time for the Yuga avatar, so it's all perfect in many different ways. But that the power of Dvaita is such when we know after Mahaprabhu took sannyas that we celebrated recently, he goes to the house of a Dvaita Acharya. He cannot resist a Dvaita Acharya. He's saying, he brought me here. Even later, when Advaita writes his mystic letter, Mahaprabhu was saying, oh, he's one of those people, you know, they commission a deity for a festival. And when the festival's finished, they actually float the deity out into the water because they're made out of earth. And then they dissolve back into the water after some time. It's a type of worship. We're not endorsing this, recommending it, just explaining it. So Mahaprabhu, and he's saying, oh, like that, he needed the deity for a few days for his purpose. Now he's finished. But really what Advaita was saying, what I brought you down here to do, to save everyone with your Nam Sankirtan, you've done that. And now you're free for your own, like Guru Maharaj called, public life, private life. After the public service, Bahiranga Sangha according to Nama Sankirtan, giving Nam Sankirtan to everyone, liberating everyone, Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, the ultimate magnanimity of freely distributing Krishna Prema to everyone, anyone and everyone. He said, no, Antaranga Sangha Kore Rasa Asadan, your own private purpose for coming, you're free to that. And Mahaprabhu realized it's release. And then from that time on, more or less behind closed doors in the Gangbir, in the association of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda, he's plunging the depths of Radha Bhav 24 hours a day, the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes. But so, and when Mahaprabhu asked Srivas Thakur one way, after going to his house, after the sannyas and Advaita, to get him to go, he said, I'm a poor householder. He said, I made some vegetables and a palm full of rice. If you come and just accept something, it'll be good for me. When Mahaprabhu goes, he sees there's so many wonderful things cooked by Advaita Acharya and his wife, Sita Thakurani. But Advaita is also cooking, can imagine. And all that is offered to Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And then they have their kirtan and dance, and Advaita starts singing this Mathura Biraha song, really Radharani song, about after so much separation from Krishna, now I've got you again, you've come to my house today, how happy I am. And Advaita is singing and dancing madly, and they're all madly dancing in ecstasy, and Mukunda is singing, and Srivas Thakur, Advaita. And after it, Mahaprabhu was in such a jovial mood, he's saying, what do you think of my Advaita? When the hero, and Srivas, thinking that he was saying wonderful, said, well, like Prahlad or Sukadev, you know, these great devotees. He's saying, I'm mentioning such exalted great devotees, and Mahaprabhu, what? You dare compare my Advaita to Prahlad and Sukadev? They're infants. They're boys. Advaita? He's very angry. and divine, to show something. It's all divine play. And so, no. He said, he's equal to me. I mean, he's not a jiva, so he's Vishnu Tattva. In fact, he's equal to me. When you don't think of him in some other way. But that Advaita and that Nityananda who are equal to him, Ekala Ishwara Britra, Krishna, Arsa Britya, they're in the mood of servitors. Even they want to serve. They're Vishnu Tattva. They want to serve Krishna and the Mahaprabhu. So it's attributed to him. He brought Mahaprabhu down. But what about Vishnu Priya Devi? Gaur Narayan, she's Shakti, she's his consort and wife in these past times. Really, she belongs to him. And we're told in the sloka, Tyaktva Sudushtaja Surevchita Raja Lakshmin, that he had to give up or renounce the incomparable imperial throne of the Krishna Prem that is the heart of Vishnu Priya Devi. We can't imagine that. How much love and affection she has for Nimai Pandit. She's said to be Satyabhama's incarnation, who's an extension of Radharani, and how much love and affection she has, and how, in a divine way, how binding that is, that how painful for him to give up that situation, happy situation with her and Sachimata, take sannyas to liberate everyone, and knowing it will plunge Vishnu Priya Devi into the depths of separation. Mayam mrigam doita ipsatam ambadavad. And those souls, they're chasing after Maya. He left the imperial throne of the Krishna Prema Vishnu Priya and is running after the fallen souls to capture them and give them that Krishna Prema. So she was so devastated by the departure and subsequent separation from Nimai Pandit when he became Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that she would like take Krishna Nam, and for every Krishna Nam, she takes one grain of rice and puts that in a pot. Like today, we have the rice cooker. And she's, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. And when she's finished taking Krishna, whatever, however much rice that is, that she cooks and lives on that exclusively. In tattered cloth and just a very piteous, pathetic state, she's under the care of her brother, taking Irshan's, taking care of Vishnu Priya and Sachimata. And after 5 years, when Mahaprabhu returns to Navadvip and all the people come to see him, we're told Vishnu Priya is off on the side in these, you know, tattered cloth and emaciated from the effects of the separation, and they cannot meet. It's a very heartbreaking situation. But we're told Mahaprabhu, he stops and he wears these shoes. They're called paduka. You might have seen them, wooden shoes with a peg between the big toe and the next toe. So he steps out of his padukas and then walks on, and all the people go with him. And then Vishnu Priya Devi comes and takes those padukas, and she clutches them to her heart, and those she worshipped for the rest of her life. And at one point, she commissioned a deity, and the Murtiwala brought the deity and presented it to her, and she dismissed the deity as not properly representing Nimai Pandit. So then he made again, presented to her again, and she dismissed that deity. Then the third time he came and presented that deity, and we're told she drew her veil over her head because she felt she was in the presence of her husband. That's how authentic that deity is, and still was called Mahaprabhu Bari or Vishnu Priya Bari, the house of Mahaprabhu, the house of Vishnu Priya, that deity is there. And Guru Maharaj told me once, if you want to know how a Mahaprabhu deity should look, that will be your reference. So he sent me there with another devotee to have the darshan of that Mahaprabhu. And he's saying, when you see that, then you, because we had different questions, and Guru Maharaj said, you go and see this deity, then you'll understand what the deity of Mahaprabhu should look like. Sometimes Nimai Pandit, he is in his divine madness expressing mysterious things that the devotees cannot fully understand. So sometimes he's saying, they hear him saying, Bap Pundarik, Bap Pundarik. And they're thinking, well, Pundarik, that is the name of Vishnu, like Pundarik Kaksha, who has beautiful lotus eyes. So Pundarik, that's one of the names of the Lord, but the Bap means father. So they're wondering, why is Mahaprabhu saying, Father, Pundarik, Father, where are you? When will I see you? And who he was, the devotees inquired, and they come to know he's talking about a great Vaishnava, right? Who we're told in the pages of Chaitanya Bhagavat, because it's somewhat mysterious, where the devotees appear is also interesting, noteworthy. And then the so-called Raradesh, or where the Ganges does not flow, some great devotees appear there. So we wonder, like, well, why? We might think immediately, oh, they would appear in the opposite of that. But we're told the Lord gave them the inspiration and to give mercy to those people, had them appear there. So he appeared in a place called Chittagram, which is modern-day Chittagong in Bangladesh. It so happened Mukunda was from the same town. But so, and just see how the divine pastimes work. Because the Ganges does not flow there, he maintains a house in Navadvip, Mayapur area, and he can go there from time to time and worship Ganga. But the specialty of Pundarik Vidyaniti is that he appears to be a gross materialist. So just as Mahaprabhu, which is the Chana avatar, he's hidden. Sometimes these great devotees, they're hiding themselves, they're disguising themselves. So he appears to be an out-and-out materialist to the extreme. And we're told how so, that he wears very beautiful clothes like silk garments. His hair is oiled and perfumed. He's always chewing betel nut. He's on a throne with three canopies above him. He has, for the betel nut, spittoons on both sides, very shiny, beautiful ones. So when he's chewing and will spit into this bit, he sees his reflection and he's thinking how beautiful he looks. And there are people sitting on both, they're fanning him with peacock fans, and he's sitting there chewing betel nuts, his lips are all red, spitting the juice out, enjoying the view of himself and the reddish lips and teeth. And We think, why is he so special? Well, and why is Mahaprabhu calling Father Pundarik? Mahaprabhu is in Radhabhav as Radharani. Who is the father of Radharani? Is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So he's the incarnation of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Radharani's father in Gaur Leela. So when Mahaprabhu was crying, Father, when will I see you? In the mood of Radharani, he's crying out like that. So this Pundarik Vidyaniti, he's a raga bhakta to the extreme, and he's appearing in this way. And knowing that he's coming soon to Navadvip for his Ganga puja, he and appreciation, he doesn't bathe in the Ganga. He doesn't, because that means your feet will have to touch those divine waters. He doesn't approve anyone will brush their teeth or rinse their cloth or anything like that. He comes, and so that disturbs him so much. He goes in the evening, kneels on the banks of the Ganga, takes a few drops of waters on his head as worshipable. That's his mood. How much reverence he has for Ganga Devi and the divine substance personified there, and this type of Krishna prema appearing in liquid form. So he is coming to Navadvip, and because Mukunda's from his hometown, his friend is Gadadhar Pandit, who, remember, is after Krishna's plunder, the heart and halo of Radharani, the remainder is Gadadhar. So it's Radharani in this condition. So Mukunda, Gadadhar Pandit had not mantra diksha yet. And Mukunda, knowing that, said, oh, a great Vaishnava is coming to Navadvip. Would you like to have his darshan? And Gadadhar, oh, yes, that'll be so such good fortune for me. And Mukunda takes Gadadhar Pandit with him. They go to see Pundarik Vidyaniti, and there he is on the palanquin with the three canopies, the red lips from chewing the pan, the spittoons, the people fanning. And there's some interaction, and Mukunda's like, here's the Vaishnava. And Gadadhar Pandit's cannot conceal his apprehension and the doubts that have arisen. He's saying, this person appears to be the opposite of a devotee. So he's now bewildered, but he's saying, but Mukunda brought me. And Mukunda knows Gadadhar, they're friends, lifelong friends, and knows Gadadhar very well, and knows the glories of Pundarik Vidyaniti. And remember, he's also an excellent singer, Vaidya Mukunda. He's a doctor by profession. He starts singing one sloka from the Bhagavatam, from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bhikiyam stanakalakutam jigamsaya payayadapyasadvi lebhe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamva doyalum sharanam brajema. This is in the third canto with Vidura and Maitreya or Uddhava, I forget exactly who, but the point is being made. Saying, who is a more worshipable Lord to take shelter of than Krishna? Kamba dalum sharanam brajema. He's saying, Putana Rakshasi, the witch Putana, she came with murderous intentions That was her approach to Krishna. And we're always saying, you should approach humbly and in a mood of service. And she comes to murder Krishna, right? I mean, although she's a witch, she's a shapeshifter, she assumes the form of this very beautiful girl who's like a milkmaid, a milk nurse for a baby. And Yasoda says, oh, in Rohini, they see this beautiful girl, like, where's the baby in the nursery? I can feed. And they go, oh, he's in there. I said, thank you. You know, she goes inside because she looks very sweet in the beginning. So didn't arouse the suspicion of Yashoda Rohini. And then she takes Krishna, puts him on her lap, and then she is pushing her breast into the mouth of Krishna, but the nipple was anointed with poison. And that was her idea. Think about it. Infanticide. She wants to kill this baby. Baby kill. And not only that, baby Krishna. Mm-hmm. But we're told, what does Krishna do? He sucks the poison, the milk from her breast, and the prana from her life airs, he sucks out of her body too. And she's trying to push Krishna, oh, leave me. And then she starts assuming her normal size as a demoness, which is around like 8 miles long, this giant, hideous, demonic-looking woman. And they find, the Brajagopis, they're all besides themselves, they find Krishna playing on this giant breast. And they think, oh, the Lord is so merciful. If she'd fallen in the other direction, he would have been crushed. They don't think that Krishna is divine and... They're just saying, how we must have done something pious in our previous life that she fell and then he was on, you know, he was cushioned by the fall as opposed to being crushed. Oh, they're worshiping the Lord and we need to protect this child with some mantras and amulets. And so Pundarik Vidyanidhi is quoting the sloka saying, if Putana Rakshasi, who approached Krishna with baby Krishna with murderous intentions, what was the end result? She was liberated. We're told achieved the mother position or like mother, nurse. If that's how he treats his enemies, then what could you expect by being a friend or more? So, kamva dvayalum shananam, who is a more merciful Lord than that? And we think, other lords are told, you have to accept them and you have to do that. They give a list of the different things you have to do to get this mercy or to be saved. Saying, no such can. She tried to murder him and he liberated her. Turned the murderous intention into something, a happy ending. So what to speak of others? And Vishwanath Chakrabarti, whom today is his disappearance, he says, because he's always parsing everything and pointing out gradation, he said, so then if you were just neutral, you would get a better result, right? That's where he starts. Because this is the extremes of negative, right? Murderous intentions. So he makes the first statement saying, so if you were just neutral, then you could expect to get a superior result to this. Right? Like Shanta. Then what to speak of Dasya, this like mood of servitorship, then that would be a greater, you know, than what to speak of friendship or Vatsalya, familial affection. And he makes the case in that way, that we could understand exponentially, each one would be a greater result than the other. And that's why Pundarik is with great feeling and astonishment saying, kamva dalum shananam rajema, who is a more merciful Lord? And Gadadhar Pandit's watching and then he's pulling his hair, throwing the, he has hookah, spittoons, pillow, he's throwing everything, and they see waves of ecstatic symptoms are playing on his divine form, and he keeps saying, "Who is the more merciful Lord?" He falls off the palanquin onto the ground, his body's trembling, tears are pouring from his eyes, and he enters an ecstatic trance like coma for 6 hours. Means when they enter a stage like that, it doesn't mean comatose the way someone here is. It means he's so deeply penetrated in the upper world that we must have an auspicious guest. So it's that he's fainted to this world, which, remember, it means he's so deeply penetrated in divine consciousness in the upper world, he's unable to maintain consciousness here. So his body is lying there for 6 hours in this divine state. And that's when Gadadhar Pandit starts saying, "Oh, what have I done? This highest of Vaishnavas, I have thought offensively about him. I look to the objective side. I failed to recognize the subjective aspect, the substantial aspect of who he is and what he represents. And I was deceived by the cover, by the extra, oh, I'm so foolish and offensive." And he's crying, and then the inspiration comes to him, and he's saying, "But if I were to take initiation from him, then my offenses would be forgiven." So Gadadhar Pandit gets the inspiration to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and makes that suggestion to Mukunda, who thinks, "Very good." That was his intention all along. Then when 6 hours later, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi comes out of his divine trance and he sees Gadadhar crying there, and Gadadhar tearfully approaches and asks for initiation, he's very happy and selects the auspicious day. And then that Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he wants to see Mahaprabhu. And when he goes to see Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu sees him, Mahaprabhu has been crying out for him sporadically. When they see each other, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the ecstatic symptoms that he starts showing, he can't even offer prayers or any other acknowledgement. He just falls down, overwhelmed by divine ecstasy. His body's trembling, hair standing on end, tears pouring from his eyes. And then Mahaprabhu gets him up, and then they embrace, and we're told it appears as though Mahaprabhu merged into him. It was that deep of an embrace, and they're that one in heart. And imagine, this is Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and he's hearing now Krishna saying, "Father." So he realized, oh, Krishna, he's now covered by the heart and halo of Radharani. He's been transformed. He's seeing this most astonishing, ecstatic transformation of Krishna into a devotee of Krishna. And I'm not only a devotee of Krishna, the highest devotee of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, his own daughter. Now Krishna is like, this is too much. He embraces him, they embrace him, we're told. Mahaprabhu merged, it appears as though they've become one. And this embrace lasts for 3 hours. They're still in this divine embrace for 3 hours in the presence, just deeply merged. Not self-annihilation or loss, but this type of connection. And then when it's finished, Mahaprabhu is saying that, because his name is ostensibly Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Vidyanidhi means ocean of knowledge. And Mahaprabhu is saying, no, today my life is perfect because I saw Premanidhi, the ocean of Krishna Prem, the ocean of divine love. That's who came before me, divine love personified. So then he became known as Premanidhi for short. Hare Krishna. Then Raghunath Das Goswami, right, who is the Prayojan Tattva Acharya in the Gaudiya line, who saying that our ultimate necessity is Radha Dasyam, service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. That's how to best serve Krishna, and in the most substantial way. And in gratitude for that service comes an incomparable quality and quantity of divine love for Krishna. So that Das Goswami, we know, he was like the equivalent of like a millionaire, billionaire type. And, but he wanted to go and be with Mahaprabhu. And his mother and father were very worried about this. Because they're saying, we want him to, you know, get the inheritance from us, and he has this beautiful wife, and yet he's always trying to join with Mahaprabhu. And then they always send some guards and they bring him back. He goes down there, you know, whenever he tries to escape, they bring him back. So the mother, she's thinking that we should shackle him. We'll put some ankle shackles on it with chains, and we'll chain them to a pillar with a long chain so he can go around the house and do things, but he won't be able to escape. And his father gives a very wonderful answer. He says, Indra Aishwarya Sama Stri Apsara Sama. He's saying he has wealth like Indra, the king of heaven, like incomparable material wealth. And Stri Apsara Sama. And he has a wife as beautiful as an Apsara. Apsara means, you know, heavenly courtesans, you can say. They're inconceivably beautiful beyond this world in terms of their feminine beauty. So he says he has wealth like Indra, the king of heaven. Stri Apsarasama, a wife like a goddess. He said, if that doesn't bind him, what good will your shackles do? And he said, for someone who's become a madman for Mahaprabhu, like, we're fighting a losing war here. He's become a madman for the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And what do we hear? That one night, his Kula Guru, family guru, the Pujari is like thinking to abandon his seva. And he approaches Raghunath Das and says, maybe you could speak to him and get him there. And Raghunath says, oh yeah, I could do that. And they're walking away from the house. And Raghunath says, why don't you just go home? I'll take care of this. You don't have to trouble yourself. Because he realizes he's far enough away from the house. Just go home. I'll take care of it. So the guru goes home, and then Raghunath, he starts running toward Mahaprabhu. But he realized, before, I always went like directly on the main road. He starts running in the opposite direction to like throw them off. And then we're told he's running day and night for 12 days, sometimes stopping a little while, drinking some milk, maybe taking a little rice. And he literally runs from West Bengal to Puri to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why was he successful this time? Because just before he got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, we know in Panihati that he fed Nityananda Prabhu and his associates the Chiradoi festival, flat rice and yogurt. And then he got the mercy of Nityananda. And achieving that, that gave him connection to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And when he got there, Mahaprabhu was so happy. And he put him under the care of Srup Damodar. Remember, as I just said, in the last 12 years of Mahaprabhu's life, behind closed doors in the Gangbir, in the association of Srup Damodar and Ramananda, plunging the depths of Radha Bhav 24 hours a day. So when Mahaprabhu says, I'm putting you under the care of Srup Damodar, that's not arbitrary or accidental. So after some time, he's says to Srup Damodar, I'd like to speak to Mahaprabhu directly. And Srup Damodar tells Mahaprabhu, well, Raghunath has been here for some time, and he's the third Raghunath. So he's known as Swarupir Raghu, Swarups Raghu. He's saying, because there was also a Raghunath Bhaiji and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Mahaprabhu says, all right, bring him. And he gives him some instructions, famous instructions. And at the end he says, but the reason I put you under the care of Srup Damodar is because what I don't know, he knows fully. And then we have, that's a mysterious thing to say. He's Krishna himself, descended, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. What can that possibly mean? What I don't know, he knows fully. Because who is Srup Damodar in Krishna Leela? Radharani has her two principal Sakhi associates, Lalita Bishakha. And with particular emphasis on Lalita Sakhi. When Radharani is lost in the divine madness of separation, Lalita Sakhi is there to supply slokas, sing songs, to either amplify the divine sentiments that are being felt and expressed, or to assuage the feelings of separation. And Radharani herself, like in Brahmar Gita, she may not recall fully what sort of expressions came from her heart. But Lalita Sakhi knows. That's why Mahaprabhu, now under the influence of the heart of Srimati Radharani, can say, what I don't know, she knows fully. And this is terra incognito for Mahaprabhu, exploring the terrain of the heart of Srimati Radharani and previously unknown land. But Srup Damodar knows everything about it. So Srup Damodar is the qualified person to assist Mahaprabhu in these divine pastimes. So when he says, I gave Raghunath to you, I gave you to Srup Damodar to be under his care, it's calculated. Because he also wants this type of service from Raghunath Das Goswami. And it's Raghunath Das Goswami who will take the confidential notebooks of Srup Damodar and the contents therein about the interior, ecstatic, emotional interior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and transfer that together with his own observations to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And therefore we have Chaitanya Charitamritam. So we can really think that it comes from Swarup Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami, and then to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and put in written form and expressed. So in that sense, everything we owe is to Raghunath Das Goswami. And we can understand by his vairagya, it's scary, you know, that he's first, because his parents were concerned, they sent lots of money in the beginning. And he feels wrong about accepting it. He thinks, oh, but if I make a feast for Mahaprabhu, it's okay. So he makes these feasts. Then he's thinking after a while, that's not right. You know, renounced sort of life. So then he's begging in front of the Shingadwar in Puri, the Lion Gate. Then he starts thinking, oh, I feel like a prostitute. Like I'm looking at people like, oh, maybe this person will give something that he gave yesterday. You know, thinking that's not good. He's going deeper and deeper into detachment. And then we hear he starts taking food that's unfit for human consumption, they give to the cows. He's taking that and finding little parts of that that are edible. This direction he's going. Then we hear Swarup Damodar finds out about this and brings Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu says to him, just think of what he's eating. And Mahaprabhu says, I hear you're still having feast and you're not inviting me. And he's saying, what? Where is that? Show me. And then Mahaprabhu starts taking that food we just described and eating that and saying, oh, this is the most nectarine substance I've ever tasted. And Swarup Damodar taking the hand of Mahaprabhu and saying, this is not fit for you. But he's saying that, taking it from Raghunath Das Goswami, from you, I find this is the most incredibly nectarine substance. And you're depriving me of this, Raghunath. So how much love Mahaprabhu has for him. We have Giriraj Govardhan. Mahaprabhu had a small one. We've seen at the Gokulananda temple where the Samadhi of Vishwanath Chakrabarti is. Also Narottam and Lokanath, Narottam Thakur, Lokanath Goswami. And that shalagram, Govardhan Shila, Mahaprabhu used to keep on his heart and hold like this, with his hair. He would keep that Giriraj on his heart. That Giriraj Govardhan, he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami as his worshipable deity. And his prayer is expresses Nijanikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. Oh Govardhan, please give me shelter. Let me be nearby in the shade of your holy lotus feet. He's expressing that aspiration. And Ashavare Amritasindhu Mayi Katanchit, that saying my aspiration, it's a direct prayer to Srimati Radharani. My aspiration is the service of your holy lotus feet, without which my life has no value. And what is more valuable than my life? Vrindavan, that is of no value to me. And although it is a shameful thing to say, Krishna himself is a dreadful thing without you. Bakari means baka, ari, bakari, the killer of baka, like the demon killer. Not that sweet, beautiful, the sweet Krishna, that he's by your side, not doing these other things. Without you, we don't get that Krishna. So he's showing here, as the Prayojan Tattva Acharya, the ultimate achievement is Radha Dasyam, or service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And Raghunandan Thakur, the whether he's son of Mukunda Vaidya or another, I believe so. But his father is a doctor. They have a family deity. He has to go on a house call, like village, you know, to another village. And he tells the son, his son Raghunanda is like 5 years old. He said, you have to serve the deity, the bhog, today. When the offering comes, you serve the deity, because I will be unable to do that. So he, and the boy, he's 5 years old, but he's an exalted Vaishnava. And he doesn't know the rituals, how you, what is the procedure for offering the bhog to the deity. So he takes the what's been cooked and he goes behind the curtain and gives it to the deity and he says, you know, my dear Krishna, you know, please take. And the deity is there, you know. And he's saying, please, I'm inviting you now, please take this. And the deity is there. And then he starts becoming emotional. And he's thinking, if you don't, my father will be upset with me. And in a very heartfelt way, he's pleading with the deity and crying and saying, please accept this offering. And then the deity becomes animated and sits down and starts eating. And then he's very happy and he goes away. And then he comes back and sees everything's been eaten, takes the plates away. Then his father comes back in the evening and expects to take some prasadam, because normally we offer everything. Krishna takes that, but mystically it remains as prasadam, the divine remnants of the Lord. Then we distribute that. His father is expecting to take prasadam, and he comes back and sees all the plates are empty. And he says, Raghunandan, where's the prasadam? He's saying, the deity ate everything. That's funny thing. The deity ate everything. Yes. Are you sure? He said, yeah, I saw it with my own eyes. Didn't leave anything. His offering was so heartfelt that Krishna could not resist. So, but his father saying, all right, show me how you do this. So they cook again. Raghunandan comes and is asking, and the deity is remaining in deity posture. His father, oh, and leaves. And then he's pleading, why? What's that? And then when the father goes, then the deity, all right, like, all right, starts eating again. Then his father comes back. And this deity, if you see the deity, he's like this. He's holding a laddu in his hand. So when his father came back and he saw, oh my, I have some sort of divine son. So later, Mahaprabhu, teasing him, said, in your house, who's the father and who's the son? And he said about the boy Raghunandan, he said, he's the father and I'm the son, meaning he has superior devotion. As Advaita said of his son, Achyutananda, he's in a superior position on account of his devotional qualities. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur disappearance, we meant Vishwanath, his specialty is things that are seemingly perhaps trivial in some instances, not in every case, but in some instances, something that appears to be just, how do you say, descriptive or trivial. He will extract from there very deep meaning and significance and rasa extraction from things. You know, if it says just before the Rasa Lila pastimes that, you know, the moon ascended in the eastern, on the eastern horizon in the sky, and the scent of jasmine was fragrant in the air, and Krishna glanced to Yogamaya indicating the time, he will say, oh, the moon in the eastern horizon. That means Chandra, moon, Chandra Vamsha. That is the dynasty of Krishna. But the eastern horizon is the wife of Indra. So it's indicating that paramour activities are going to take place from the moon rising in the eastern horizon. And the smell of Jasmine, that means the essence, rasa, lila is about to take place. And, or he gives a beautiful example. He said, then Yogamaya is assembling all the gopis to see who is qualified to participate in these divine pastimes. He said, like when a king gives an indication that he would like to enjoy mangoes. He said, the cook, who's supplying, they go and collect, they go to a mango tree and pick many mangoes. Then they look at the mangoes and go, all right, this is ready to be eaten right now. Put that, all right, this one needs a little more. They can sort through them. So he's saying, when he indicates the Yogamaya, assemble the qualified devotees, she's saying, all right, these are ready to participate now. These need a little more ripening. How are they ripened? Just like the mangoes, we know with fruit sometimes, you put in the sun for a few days. Saying, those gopis who could, they heard the call but could not answer that call, somehow they were prevented. That ignited a fire of separation in their hearts, that if there was anything less than totally auspicious, it was burned away by that separation, qualifying them to answer the next flute call, as it were. So Sumit Vishwanath always extracting many divine things, enlightening everyone on his unparalleled commentaries, particularly on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in an display of abject modesty, with I think a little bit of irony or humor, he at one point begs his readers to forgive him for becoming a jewel merchant, like a jeweler, right? A person who sells jewels. But what he's saying is, he's extracting these gem-like slokas and substance, right? And so he's saying, forgive me for having become a jeweler. So, and of course, he wrote the Gur Vastakam that is sung by all devotees every day, like the premier prayer in praise of the lotus feet of Sri Guru. And his glory, it's impossible to adequately describe, but something. And as we mentioned, was it Swarup Bhakti Swarup Bharati, and Bhakti, no, Vivek Bharati and Bhakti Swarup Parbat. That Parbat Maharaj you see in old photographs of Saraswati Thakur and his time, very tall man. He's always in the back because he's like the tall, a very substantial disciple of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Who was it? He or Bharati, one of them. Which one lived? And Swarup, I said in the beginning, now I forgot. But one lived by the, in Surabhi Kunj, next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think it was Parbat Maharaj. And it was Bharati Maharaj, who was very tall and big. This Parbat Maharaj, he lived next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And here at 3 o'clock in the morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would come and sit on his cement bench and be loudly taking Krishna Nam. He said, like this piteous wailing as if he was crying out in the distance to his long lost beloved, pleading. He said he'd never heard someone take Krishna Nam in this way. And he would hear that. He was like next door neighbor. So think about, you wake up in the morning hearing Bhaktivinod Thakur taking Krishna Nam in the midst of his evening of writing unparalleled books, songs, and going on with his divine practices. Hare Krishna. So many exalted associates of the Lord. All good fortune comes to us by remembrance and service of the Lord and his devotees. And this day is exceptional for that. Hare Krishna.